Take your Bibles and turn with me again to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Entitled this message, A Specific Day and a Specific Song. The scripture here says, in that day, in a very specific day, shall this song, this specific song, be sung. A specific day and a specific song. And the song is this. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Here we have this very specific phrase again. We went over this last Sunday. In that day. In that day. I believe last time I said 47 times this specific phrase is used in the book of Isaiah. But I read another place, it was 53 times. Very much. But each time you come to this phrase in the book of Isaiah, it is dealing with the specific day of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the day of Jesus Christ. How important in the eyes of God is the coming of His Son? That everything He says in His Word points to that specific day, that specific time when He would come into the world and save His people from their sins. The whole book is centered around that day. The whole book, the whole Word of God. That day is when Jesus Christ would come and fulfill all salvation for His people. That day, that specific day, when He would come and fulfill all the types and prophecies of Holy Scripture. Behold, now, that day has come. That day has come. Jesus Christ has come and fulfilled the covenant of God's grace for all His chosen people. All those that the Father loved in eternity and gave to the Son, all that the Father purposed their salvation, He trusted Christ to fulfill it. In that day, He did accomplish salvation. Salvation accomplished. And so when Jesus came into the world as our representative man, as our high priest, He had by Himself established all our righteousness and redemption. What a glorious day. What a glorious day. Christ, by His own obedience, established our righteousness. Made it with His own hands. And by His blood, He has forever accomplished our redemption. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I refer to this a lot because this is a very, I think it's very concise. Describes the whole counsel of God here. Look at verse 5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. You understand that God provided all those sacrifices, and yet He's saying this. None of those could take away sin. None of them were purposed to take away sin. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. But Christ said, a body thou hast prepared me. And so, if these offerings could not satisfy God, what do you think your offerings would do? Men make a bunch of offerings to God. They say, well, I'm doing this for God. I'm going to do this for God. I know some people that are doing good things. Nothing wrong with what they're doing. I know some nurses and doctors, they say, well, I'm doing the work of God. No doubt you're fulfilling exactly what God determined you to do, but your offering is not enough. Your sacrifice and your good works are not enough. Go ahead and take them if you want. God said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. I don't want it. Why? It don't satisfy. But what does? Listen to what the Son of God said. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written to me. It's just what I told you. The whole thing's about him. In the volume of the book is written to me, to do thy will, O God. What is the will of God? What was the will of God he was to do? He said above, when sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He taketh away the old covenant by fulfilling it. You can't disannul the old covenant of God without fulfilling it. That's what he did. He established it in righteousness and in judgment. He established the old law. And he says this, by the which will, by the will of God, by the will of God we are sanctified. Oh, it's wonderful. If you are saved this morning, I want you to know this, you are sanctified by the will of God. Isn't that good? That's good. Through what? The offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Therefore, now seeing Jesus in that day, once for all, in that day, once for all, forever satisfied the justice of God for his people, forever. He justified us. He sanctified us. He accomplished our righteousness by his offering and obedience. Well, in that day, who did he do this for? Look at your text. In that day shall this song be sung by in the land of Judah. In the land of Judah. Now we know this, that all the in the Old Testament, the people of Judah, the people of Israel, were always a type. Just like the lamb was a type of Christ. Just like the high priest was a type of Christ. Just like the tabernacle was a type of Christ. The Jewish people, the chosen people of God, were a type of the elect of God. That's what they were for. Judah is always pictured as the elect, the whole church of God. And so now that day was accomplished for Judah for this purpose. Listen, that specific day was that Judah should sing a very specific song. That Judah, the elect, should sing a specific song. I like that when it says, "At in that day shall this song." In that day, this song is going to be sung. Let's go over the song. Here's the first part of it. We have a strong city. Everyone who is born of the Spirit of God and trusts in Christ, we were given to Christ and we were put in Christ. And so then, we who are in Christ, we rejoice and praise God because he has purposed, decreed, and willed to give us the kingdom of God. It was always the will of God to give you the kingdom. Jesus says to his elect, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Abraham, he sought a city, didn't he? Whose builder and maker is God. And it is this city that God has purposed to give you. Remember, he tells his sheep in the end, he said, come, you loved of my blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. This strong city, to you who believe, this strong city is yours. We speak of a strong city. It has the idea of safety, protection. He speaks of bulwarks. He speaks of walls. These things have a sense of security. I want you this morning, if you are in Christ, to know how safe you are. I really want you to know how safe you are. You're in a strong city. You that believe in Christ, I know this. In this world, we are like sheep among wolves. We're surrounded by many enemies. Many enemies. The world is filled with darkness, trouble, and sin. We are often oppressed and hated and persecuted. This vain religious world is opposed to the gospel we preach. Our flesh, even within our own selves, is constantly seeking to pull us from Christ. We are surrounded by enemies, and they're too strong for us. We have no strength to overcome our enemies. And though we were chosen of God, and in that day forever redeemed, though we were now given the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, given us life and faith, yet we are not exempt from suffering. You found that out? You who believe? Is that not true? Do we not suffer? I tell you this, I know this. We suffer the common pains that every man suffer, and yet more than that, we have spiritual pains, spiritual troubles and difficulties. But in the midst of our sorrows, when all appears dark and the promises of God are not felt, you experience that? How often do you feel His presence? But in those times when the darkness and pain are so great, let this song be sung. You are in a strong. If we were to continually look back at that day, look and see that we dwell as citizens in Christ, whose walls and bulwarks are not made of brick and stone, our defense and protection is not built by man, nor is it merited by us. Our salvation is appointed of God. And what he says, look, you have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Our salvation was appointed by God and purchased by his Son. Look at what David says in Psalm 48 about this city. Psalm 48 and verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, where? In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Consider this, you who believe in Christ, you dwell in the holiness of Christ. You are surrounded. And one thing about Jerusalem was it just a magnificent city. It was Zion was surrounded by mountains. It was a natural defense. They couldn't overcome. There was only one way in and one way out. What a picture of this, of the gospel, isn't it? Only one way in, Christ. There's no way, there's no other way to come in. You can't dig under it, you can't jump over it. No other way in. That's a beautiful situation, isn't it? I want you to see that God is your refuge. I want you to see God is not just physical mountains. God Himself is your refuge. Are you in Christ? God's your refuge. Therefore, none of our foes can reach us. If they kill this body, what have they done? That's the worst they can do. Have they separated you from God? Has God ceased to be your refuge if they take this body? No. They've done nothing. They can't reach you. No accusations of men or Satan will assail the walls of Christ's blood and righteousness. Not even the wrath of God will touch one of His people. You want to know why? Because Christ has already satisfied the wrath of God for you. He's already paid it. Matter of fact, the justice of God welcomes you. Welcomes you into this city. It receives us with open arms because of our union with Jesus Christ. Therefore, behold the beautiful situation of us in Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. You are accepted in the Beloved. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. See the refuge? You see how strong the city is? Not one accusation shall make it to the ears of my God, because Christ ever lives to make intercession for me. You know who has God's ear? Christ. My favorite illustration, you know it, I say it a lot, is that high priest, Joshua, standing there in those filthy garments, Satan ready to accuse him, and you know what Satan says? Nothing. Before he could speak, the angel of the Lord said, shut up. Is not this one a brand plucked from the burning? Now take the filthy garments off of him and give him a robe of righteousness and put a crown on his head. And you know what the high priest did? He stood by to make sure it happened. You got a strong refuge, friend. You got a strong refuge. Paul said, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, and just in case I missed any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Who's going to take you out of this strong city? Not one. This thought comforts me. In order to remove me, they would have to remove Christ. Anybody would want to try that? They have. They all failed. This is a strong city appointed by God. You believe on Jesus Christ. Do you believe on Christ even now? Do you trust in Christ? And what I mean by this is, do you trust Christ without mixture? of any work that you have done. There are thousands of millions and millions of people who trust Christ plus something. That's not trusting Christ. To believe on Christ is to absolutely surrender all to the full salvation of Jesus Christ. All my salvation. He is all my wisdom. He is all my righteousness. He is all my sanctification. He is all my redemption. That's faith in Christ. If you have faith in Christ, you may sing this song confidently. We have a strong city. A strong city. And salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. God is our refuge. Christ is all our salvation. Now then, I want to speak to you who are outside. Text now turns from those who are in the city. The song is now sung of those who are in the city. We have a strong city. Salvation is our walls. Salvation is our bulwark. But here is a word to those outside. Listen to what it says in verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Open ye the gates. I know this, the Bible plainly declares that God has a chosen people. This is, I remember one time Brother Donna went to seminary and they forbid him to use the word predestinated. they hated election so much, they decided just to omit the word. And then he went to every scripture where predestinated was, and he said, blank. Wasn't allowed to say it. I don't understand why people hate election. If there's no election, there would be no salvation. It wouldn't be. I think men think too highly of themselves. Think they got more power than they got. They don't got any. No, Bible plainly declares that God has an elect people. He has given them to Christ, and He is their surety, and He redeemed all of His elect in that day. In that day, He did save everyone the Father gave Him. And we rejoice that none of those elect shall be lost. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Now listen, if one person is in hell for whom Christ died, then Jesus is a liar. He said, I'm not going to lose any. If he lost one, is it going to be true? He didn't lose any. He never lost any. He saved them all. But I want you to see that the nature of the elect is no different than the nature of those hated by God. When we were born in this world, there was no difference. You that believe, that scripture rings in my ears. Who maketh thee to differ from another? You see, my election was not based on anything in me, because I was no different than anyone else. I was just as vile as anyone else. But I know this, all that are not chosen of God will remain dead. All those who are not chosen of God will remain dead in their sins. Look back at your text. At verse 14. Look at this. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. But what will God do for his elect? This is the difference. They will not remain dead. The dead who are not chosen of God will remain dead. But those that are chosen of God will not remain dead. This also thrills my heart to know this. The church of God is always full. You got that? The church of God. When I'm talking about the spiritual church of God, I'm not talking about this physical church. There are many of God's elect people that are not in this building. Many of God's elect people are probably not in any building. Does that really matter? No. Because the church is not made up of a building. It's made up of the elect of God, those that believe in Christ. They are the church of God, and it's always full. But all God's people will receive life from the dead. Look at verse 19. Notice what he says. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Can you not hear the voice of Christ, the voice of the Father to Christ? This is the voice of the Father. Listen to what he says. Thy dead shall live. The ones I gave you, they will live. They shall live. And herein is how they shall live, because they are quickened together with his dead body. Now what it says? Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. And that is exactly what Paul says in Galatians 2. I am crucified with Christ. Now Paul was standing right there. But he makes this very bold statement. When Christ was crucified, I was crucified. I was in him. I was in union with him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, we were crucified with Christ. But not only this, we were raised from the dead because we were raised in him. When he rose again, I rose again. What Paul says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ. By the riches of his grace, by the union, our union with Jesus Christ, I know this, every dead elect sinner will be given life. Every one of them. Therefore, in the ages to come, at the appointed time, he will call and he will quicken his elect. Now go back to your text and look at the experience then of everyone who is called of God. In Isaiah 26, verse 5, it says, for he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright, thus weigh the path of the just. What is this saying? Everyone that God saves, he's going to destroy you first. He's going to bring your high and lofty opinions and thoughts of yourself to the dust. You that believe, you know that's just so. That's our experience, isn't it? We thought really highly of ourselves until God spoke. And when God spoke, he put us in the dust. He showed us that we are the poor, we are the needy, we are the beggar in the dunghill. What God does to everyone, He saves. He brings us to the end of ourselves, to know our dead estate and our need of life. And then what? God raises us up and raises us up to see that Christ is our only hope. So we in our trouble, in verse 16 through 18, we see the cry then of those that are afflicted. When God makes you to, Joseph Hart said this, a sinner is a sacred thing, for the Holy Ghost hath made him one. You're never going to be a sinner until God truly reveals what you are by nature. I preached a message a long time ago called True Lepers. True lepers. You know, only true lepers can be healed of leprosy. If you're not a real leper, then you really is no miraculous thing, is it? Only true sinners are saved. Only those who have nothing. Bring God. I have nothing to give God. I have nothing which I can save myself. There's no hope for me. Those are the people that God quickens to life. Those who have nothing. True sinners. And true sinners cry out to God. Look in verse 16. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out prayer when thy chastening hand was upon them. Like a woman with child that draweth near to the time of delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. Now imagine this, a pregnant woman. She's ready to deliver, and all she delivers is wind. All the pain is for nothing. Don't you see that all of your efforts are for nothing? All of your pains are for nothing. Your works are for nothing. You go through misery and you produce nothing. That's what we cry. I can produce nothing. I can't bring myself to give myself life. But then comes that hope in verse 19, thy dead shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust. You dwell in the dust? Where God brings His people. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And so Christ says this, come, my people, enter into thy chambers, and shut the door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until indignation be overpassed. Oh, sinner, listen, the gate is open. You know, election never stopped anyone from coming to Christ. I told you, if there were no election, no one would come to Christ. But because there is, some will. I don't know who they are. Do you? I have no clue. Told you this before. I'm kind of repeating myself, don't I? Maybe... Spurgeon said that one time, a man come and said, look, well, if only the elect are going to be saved, then why don't you just preach to them? He said, sir, if you would kindly point out the elect, I will only preach to them. I don't know who they are. That's why the scripture here says, open the gate. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth truth may enter in. What is that? That everyone who believes in Christ may enter in and sing this specific song. We have a strong city. Salvation appointed by God as walls and bulwarks. We have a strong city. He says, come, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. When I read that, I thought of Noah. Remember Noah? He prepared that ark. When they had entered in, God shut the door. I imagine that all of those people were mocking him. Look, he's trapped. He's trapped in there. That must feel like a prison. People say that about Christians. They say, that must feel like a prison being in there. No, it's a refuge. Noah was safe. Everyone else was damned. When we come to Christ, he shuts us in. All who are in Christ are safe. And this last thing, I'll give you this and close here. Verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, who's that speaking about? Who in the world has ever kept their mind stayed on God? Who in the world has ever kept their mind this just today? All right, let's just go through the last 40 minutes here. Did you all keep your mind stayed on Christ? I didn't, and I'm preaching. I know you didn't. It's not talking about us. It's talking about Christ. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. There's my hope. There's my hope of peace right there, that Christ is all my peace. That his mind was stayed on God, and God, he made peace by his faith, by his obedience. And here's his word to you. Trust you in the Lord forever. I know this. It is good that our mind should be stayed on Christ. Would we not be more at peace if our mind were stayed on him? If we would think about that day often, I imagine we'd have a lot more peace. This was comforting to me. Well, actually, I read this quote from Spurgeon, and after I read it, I hated him. I hated him. Because it hit me right between the eyes. And I didn't like it one bit. He said this about faith, about trusting. He said, there are two kinds of people or candidates for heaven, those who have little faith and those who have much faith. Little faith will take your souls to heaven, but much faith will bring heaven to us. The important thing is for us to be living in heaven now. In order for us to accomplish this, we must stop the sighs produced by the various ifs of life and begin to face life as it is. Wouldn't that be more comforting if we just face life as it is instead of how we want it to be? Well, how is it? For you believers, how is life? Let us take life as it is with all its hurts and pains because Jesus has said, my grace is sufficient for thee. How is it with you? How is it with you? You who believe. Say you to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Say you to the righteous, it shall be well. I tell you, we would live more in perfect peace if our mind were stayed on that. And I say this, if you have not come to Christ, why are we not? describe to you a very safe place, a very strong city in which not even the wrath and justice of God may touch you. To enter in is simply to believe on Christ alone. You know what? I know why you won't come. Because you don't need Christ. You don't need Him. I'll tell you this, the day He comes and speaks to you, the day He says live, you'll have no other choice but to flee to Christ. I'm still fleeing. I'm still coming to Him. I have no other hope, no other refuge. Good song, isn't it? Safe. Safe. Pray God bless this to your heart. So stand and be dismissed in prayer. Father, dismiss us with your blessing and pour out your Spirit as you please. Open the hearts of your people. Give them life and faith. I ask this in Christ's name.